Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's Video Information webcast. On behalf of AEP Ohio, I'd like to welcome everyone to this presentation and wish everyone a Happy New Year. Presenting with me today is Dr. Chantal Lacasse with NERA. My name is Benjamin Chi, and I will lead us off in this presentation. With us is also Mr. Michael Michalty from AEP Ohio. This is for AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process, and today's presentation will be focused on the March 2018 auction, which is the second auction under its amended ESP3. I'll start this presentation with a disclaimer. So any statements that we make on this presentation that refers to documents or agreements are summaries only, and they are qualified in their entirety by our reference to these documents or agreements. So the process itself, the competitive bidding process, is a process that is approved by the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, or PUCO, and the governing documents will include the PUCO's orders, including those under case number 16-1852-EL-SSO and case number 16-1853-EL-AAM. And that also includes the interim order that authorizes us to conduct an auction for this March 2018. The governing documents also include the bidding rules for the auctions under the CBP, what we call the CBP rules, the standard contract, which is known to us as the Master SSO Supply Agreement, the rules and protocols for participation by associated bidders, as well as the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. All of the documents for your participation, including the governing documents that I have just read out, can be found on the CBP website. The CBP website is a central source of information for you to learn about the auction as well as to download information for your participation in this process. The website address is provided here, www.apohiocbp.com. I will highlight a few items here as we start. So this is a screenshot of the CBP website. On the left navigation bar on the site, you will see a couple of links, and if you clicked on Contact Us, there will be a couple of sublinks that will show up. I will highlight three things for you. The first is that if you're not on the distribution list to get email alerts from us, please do so so that you will get reminders about the upcoming events as well as the deadlines, as well as important information pertaining to the requirements and the process that may be critical for your participation. And to do so, click on Contact Us. The first something that appears is the register link, and there you can sign up for email alerts. There is a FAQ process that is ongoing throughout this process, and to ask a question regarding the requirements, the process, the deadlines, what you can do is click on Contact Us. The second sublink there is the Ask a Question link. You can ask your questions there. The principal way in which you ask your questions throughout this process after today is through this Ask a Question process or FAQ process. All questions that we receive, we respond back to you in writing by email, and we do ask for a 2-working-day turnaround to process your questions, and we may take longer if there are delays in processing your questions if we need to do additional research to get you the response. But we will respond to your questions, and once we do, all questions as well as our responses will be posted to the CBP website as FAQs. Your identity will not be revealed, but the question as well as our responses will be posted so that all bidders will have the same access to the information that is provided to you. The third item I'll highlight here is that there is an online application process that is ongoing. It's a two-part process. The first step to the online process is to get an account for the application website. And to do so, clicked on Contact Us on the left navigation, clicked on Register for an Application Account, which is the last sublink in this Contact Us link. And there you can request for an application account. And there we will provide you a username and password for access to the application forms. If you are a returning bidder, you have participated in the past, you do not need to do so again. We will provide that information to you in the coming days if you have not received that already. This presentation, as well as any answers that we provide to your questions here, will be posted to the CVP page later on today. So the CVP website is maintained by NERA as the auction manager. We are responsible for communications with you and will be the main point of contact that will interface with you throughout this process. If you have a question or a comment, please do not reach out to the utility representatives. Please do not reach out to the PUCO representatives. We are your main point of contact. You can contact us via the website, as I have mentioned, or through email. And this will ensure that the CVP rules as approved are followed, and that will also ensure that we are able to evaluate all bidder qualifications equitably and provide all information in a fair manner and provide that same access to everyone. We will be responsible for the conduct and the administration of the auction itself and present responsible to present the results to the Commission. For today's presentation, we have five parts. We will start us off with an overview of the process and at a very high level provide you information that are pertinent to this entire auction process, discussing the requirements as well as the process and deadlines. Then we will move on to talk about the product design and the contract, and we'll take a short break at that point after section two of this presentation to take some of your questions, and then we will move on to finish off the presentation with the practical aspects of your participation in more detail regarding the application requirements and deadlines, what a bid means in the auction, how you participate in bidding in the auction, and where you can find information as provided in the CVP website. One last housekeeping item here on slide 5, which is we will take questions at two points throughout this presentation. The first pause we will have is after part 2, as I have mentioned, after where we talk about the product design and contract section, and also the second pause will be at the end of this presentation. You can ask your questions throughout this presentation. You do not need to wait till then to ask your questions. To ask your questions, simply locate the Q&A icon or box on the right side of your screen, select all panelists in the ask box, type in your questions. If it pertains to a particular slide, I ask that you include the relevant slide number and click send to submit your questions. Again, you do not need to wait till these two stopping points to ask your questions. You can ask your questions at any point in time. You will not be asking your questions over the phone. You will be doing that online, and we will respond to you at these two points in time over the phone. So that you can plan, we have about 58 slides in all in today's presentation. We have budgeted about 1.5 hours or 90 minutes for this presentation. We may go faster or shorter depending on the questions we get. And the first pause will take place around slide 20. So moving right into the presentation, here is where we are in the process. This is a multi-solicitation process. The CBP itself is a multi-solicitation process. And so you know, AP Ohio has filed its ESP3 petition that would extend the term of the ESP3 through 2024. This was filed by AP Ohio sometime in November of 2016. So this petition as filed by AP Ohio to the PUCO is what we call the amended ESP3 term, amended ESP3 filing. This March 2018 auction is the second auction under the amended ESP3. The amended ESP3 filing itself is still pending approval by the PUCO, but like what we have done in November, we have received from the Commission an interim order approving for us to proceed with the conduct of the auction for this March 2018. So this, again, is the second auction under the amended ESP3, and we are proceeding under the interim order that was issued by the Commission 2 days ago on January 10. And the case number for this, if you are looking for documents, is under 16-1852-ELSSO. If you're a returning bidder, you have participated with us in November and you're coming back for this March auction. At a very high level, just want to let you know that nothing has changed in terms of the requirements, the process, or the products, or the product terms. So we have procured 50% of the SSO supply required to serve the SSO customers in November, through a three-year product terms, or three products, for the 12-month, 24-month, and 36-month terms. And we're doing the same again for the remainder 50% of supply for the supply period starting June 1, 2018. So there was, just to refresh those memory of those that have participated in November, we went out for 50% of the supply in the auction under three products. These are full requirements load following products, and the terms then were 12 months, 24 months, and 36 months, and this is for a supply start of June 1, 2018. There was a load cap of 40 tranches, that is 80% of the load that we were soliciting then, and all of that that we have done in November are going to be repeated again in this March auction. So nothing has changed. The same products are being auctioned and the same supply period is being solicited at this point. There will still be the 40 tranches that will be the maximum that any bidder can bid and win in this auction as the load cap. The other thing we will highlight here is for the remainder of the auctions under the amended ESP3, for which the company AP Ohio has filed its amended ESP3 petition to extend the term to 2024, that has not received affirmative approval by the Commission yet, but future auctions aim to procure new contracts to replace the expiring ones. So between what we have procured in November and what we are procuring now in March, we will procure 100% of supply for the period starting June 1, 2018. On top of the 40 tranches that a bidder can bid and win as the overall load cap, you may be further constrained by a credit-based tranche cap. And that will depend on the credit rating of the credit provider for this option. So just to refresh memory, for the amended ESP3, there were a couple of changes. Nothing has changed since we started in November as with the first option under the amended ESP3. But as a recap, for those who did not participate in last November, a couple of changes were made between ESP3 and the amended ESP3. The first deals with the application of the credit-based tranche cap. And the credit-based tranche cap under the amended ESP3 will apply in the given option across all products. And the key operative words here are in a given option. So it is no longer going to be applied as an overall cap across all options. So that's one principal change. If you have been constrained by the credit-based tranche cap in November, you're coming in again in this March auction. Just note that if you have won tranches in November, you are going to be starting fresh with your credit-based tranche cap in this March auction. What you have won will not be counted against you for your participation. The second thing to note is if you are participating and you are standing or relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor, or if you are a foreign bidder that is participating, then there are some of these documents that are required under the Master SSO Supply Agreement. This will involve a legal opinion from counsel as well as a sworn certificate from your corporate secretary. So some additional requirements are required under Section 5 of the Master SSO Supply Agreement. We will ask that you provide drafts of these additional documents to us during the Part 1 process, and in Part 2, you must provide the executed documents incorporating any changes required by us, which we will evaluate and provide the assessment to you between the Part 1 and Part 2 timeline. And in terms of the results from last November, we are providing a summary here for you. On this slide 9, these are the results from last November for the same supply period, for the same product terms that we are repeating this time around. So in last November, we have 12 registered bidders, which we have conducted an auction that ran for 16 rounds. We have started the process with a range of the starting prices between $65 and $85 per megawatt hour. That's the range of the starting prices. And the auction was conducted on November 28. The commission approved the results within one business day, and the results for the 12-month product, for which we were looking for 17 tranches, cleared at $52.39 per megawatt hour. For the 24-month product, for which we were looking for 17 tranches, cleared at $49.32 per megawatt hour. And for the 36-month product, for which we were looking at to procure and had procured 16 tranches, cleared at $47.27 on a dollar per megawatt hour basis. In terms of the product description, this again is a load following slice of system full requirements product, and let me maybe unpack this a little, what it means here. So this is a mouthful, and it means all of these words mean something. So first, it's a load following product. What it means is that you are not responsible to provide a fixed megawatt measure under the contract terms. Instead, you're responsible for bidding and for supplying a fixed percent of the load of SSO customers, which is denominated in tranches. A tranche that you win corresponds to a percent of the load of SSO customers that you must follow during the supply period. For purposes of this option, SSO customers are those customers that take retail generation from AP Ohio, but they exclude any PIP customers. So take note, SSO customers are those that are not shopping customers. They are those that take retail generation from AP Ohio, and they exclude PIP customers. The second point to note is that this is a slice of system product. What it means is that you're not bidding for individual customer classes. There is no breakdown for residential customer class or commercial customer classes. Here, it's a slice of system. If you win one tranche, what it means is that you'll be responsible to provide and follow the load of the non-shopping customers, the SSO customers, excluding PIP customers, load throughout this term, and you are awarded a slice of that load. And the last piece of this is that this is a full requirements service. This is not a financial transaction. It is a physical transaction. It calls for physical delivery. It assumes that you will have LSE or load serving entity responsibility with PJM. You must be a member in good standing with PJM and qualified as a market buyer and seller during the supply period. And you will be responsible for scheduling supply and making arrangement for delivery of SSO supply to the delivery point. The delivery point is provided in the contract and provided here for your reference as well. The P-Node ID in PJM is 12693646700. For this auction that will be held in March, we have fixed the date of the auction. It will be conducted on Tuesday, March 6th. And for the product terms, as I have mentioned a couple of times now, they will all start with a June 1, 2018 start date, and will be for three different product terms. We have a 12-month product for 17 tranches. We have a 24-month product for 17 tranches and a 36-month product for 16 tranches in total that we are soliciting. Any one bidder will be constrained to bid no more than 40 tranches in all. Each tranche is corresponding to 1% of the load of SSO customers less PIP customers. And the auction format that we are after is a descending clock auction format. It's a multi-product clock auction format. And again, the bid product is the load of SSO customers for a given supply period, which means that we will have three products in this auction that will proceed to solicit your solicitation or participation in the auction through this multi-round auction format. So the way it works at a high level, for which we will get into later on in this presentation in more detail, is that for each round, we, the auction manager, will announce a price for each product separately, and that is a price, you can call it announced by us, you can call it suggested by us, but that's a price that we are announcing, and you in each round as a bidder will not be naming your price. Instead, you'll be naming the number of tranches you want to supply at the price that we announce in a given round. And that is what we call the going price for a product. So in each round, there will be three going prices that will be announced for each of these products. At the end of the round, when we tabulate the results, if there are more bids received, more tranches bid, meaning, then the tranches available, which is what we call the tranche target, then there is what we call excess supply in the auction. And from one round to the next, if there is excess supply for a particular product, the price of that product will tick down and the auction will continue to the next round. And the process will continue round by round, and there will be switching allowed between products, so you can switch your tranches from one product to another product, and we will get into the details of this at the later on in this presentation. But what it means is that when there is no longer excess supply for one particular product, it does not mean that the auction has concluded. Because switching is allowed, these tranches may always be moved where there is excess supply to where the price no longer ticks down for a product. So what it means is that the auction will only conclude when the price of all three products are no longer able to tick down, and there is no excess supply for all products. Because the descending clock auction format has different variants, we just want to make clear that in this design, no sealed bid round is envisaged under the descending clock auction that we're conducting this March. And all bidders will provide exit prices as you withdraw tranches throughout the auction. At the end of the auction, when it concludes, you will be seeing three different clearing prices, one clearing price for each product, and there's going to be this single uniform clearing price for each product that will be applicable to all bidders. So all bidders get the same clearing price for the product that you have been awarded tranches. We have a couple of announcements that I have to make in the next couple of slides. We'll start here with some announcements on the prices as well as the megawatt measure and the seasonal factors. So the auction will start, as I have mentioned, through this in this descending clock auction format, with a price that will continue to tick down throughout the auction rounds. The starting prices will start somewhere for each of these three products in this range, what we call the minimum starting price and the maximum starting price, which is currently set at $65 per megawatt hour for the minimum starting price and $85 per megawatt hour for the maximum starting price. And we will talk about the implications of this as we go through the application process and talk about what it means as your initial eligibility later on. But just take note that at this time, your starting prices for purposes of the auction is going to be within this range of $65 to $85 per megawatt hour. The second announcement I have to make is the megawatt measure, which is now corresponding to 25.33 megawatts per tranche. And this is provided for your reference and for information purposes only. The amount of actual quantity that you must deliver during the supply period under the contract terms depends on many factors. Again, this is a load-following product. You must provide supply corresponding to the percentage that is awarded to you denominated by each tranche. But the actual quantity may change depending on many factors, including changes in demand, as well as migration or switching of SSO customers. Under the contract, there is this term known as the seasonal factor that will be applied or will cause the payments to you to be adjusted but we are at this time indicating that the seasonal factors for summer and non-summer months are at this time fixed at 1, thereby indicating to you that you'll be paid the auction clearing price for each megawatt hour of supply during the delivery term. So no adjustments will be required under the terms of the contract to the auction clearing price. Here on this slide 14, I'll talk about the process very quickly. So in terms of the process, this is a two-part application process. And then we have the conduct of the auction thereafter. So the application process is an online process. The dates are provided here. We will start next Tuesday with the opening of the Part 1 window. All Part 1 applications are due to us online by noon on Friday the 26th. We will inform you of your status and provide you additional information by February 1st with your Part 1 notification. And with that, we will open the Part 2 application window. The application window opens on that Friday, February 2nd. It will close by noon on February 15th. And we will provide you the status of your of where you stand as a registered bidder at that point in time with your Part 2 notification on February 23rd. We will have a trial auction where you can participate and have a chance to practice all aspects of the bid submission process on the 28th of February, and we will have the actual auction start on the following Tuesday, March 6. From this point forward, we will provide any updates to the seasonal factors and the megawatt measure on February 2nd, and then we will announce the round one price to all registered bidders on March 1, 3 days before the actual conduct of the auction. In terms of the application process, there are two key takeaways here. First is the application process is an online process. Everything that you do primarily will be done through the application website. The second is this is a two-part process. In part one, the window again is January 16 through noon on January 26, where we need to receive all your information. The Part 2 process begins February 2nd, runs through noon on February 15, where we will ask for your materials related to Part 2. The Part 1 is for applicants or interested parties to apply to become qualified bidders. And there you will provide us your contact information, company information. You will have what we call inserts, these standalone documents where you will download, you will complete, and in many cases print, sign, scan, and then upload back to the application website. The application website also allows you to upload required supporting documents like your financials and other required information to show that you are a member in PGM and qualified as a buyer and seller. So these are the requirements for Part 1 at a high level. In the Part 2 process, it works similarly. There is this Part 2 window that will open where you can access the Part 2 form, fill out information there, and then we'll have inserts that you will download, complete, print, sign, scan, upload back to the application website. And the only information that will not be accepted through the application website is your pre-bid security, the pre-bid letter of credit or cash. Otherwise, everything else besides the pre-bid letter of credit or cash that we will be required of you will be all collected through the Part 2 application website. The auction itself, again, will be conducted March 6th, that's a Tuesday. The results themselves are contingent on the approval by the commission. On the day the auction closes, we, the auction manager, will submit a confidential report on the auction results to the commission. The commission will at that time will have a two-day review window to render its decision on the auction results. A key thing to note here is that, two things to note. The first is that while there is a two-day review window, the commission has historically processed or rendered its decision within one business day. And the second thing to note is that if the commission does not act within this two-day review window, the auction results are deemed approved or accepted by the commission. At that point, once it is approved, you must execute the contract, the master SSO supply contract, and fulfill any credit worthiness requirements under that contract within 3 days of the acceptance of results by the commission. So we'll move into the design of the product itself, and we'll have two slides on the contract and credit terms. So as I have mentioned, this is a full requirements product. For those that are participating or have participated in the past with us under the ESP3 or the amended ESP3, there are no changes to the product characteristics. You'll be assuming the responsibilities of a load-serving entity with PGM. You must be a member in good standing during the supply period and qualified as a market buyer and seller. You are responsible for providing full requirements service. You must follow the load of SSO customers that exclude the PIP customers' load, and you'll be bearing all the costs and charges associated with providing this full requirements service. And for more details about your obligations and what it means to provide this service, we ask that you review the Master SSO Supply Agreement that is posted online. There is this attachment F provided for your reference and convenience that will lay out for you how the charges are distributed or allocated between you as the SSO supplier and AEP Ohio as the EDC, the Electric Distribution Company, as these terms are used in attachment F of the contract. In terms of the credit requirements, very quickly I will highlight for you that there are two requirements and there are two lines of credit that are provided under the terms of the contract. So in terms of the unsecured lines of credit, the way it works is that if you are the bidder, it will be assessed based on your credit worthiness. If you're relying on a guarantor, then we will use the credit rating and the tangible net worth of your guarantor for purposes of assessing the unsecured credit line that will be granted to you. These credit requirements, the way it will play out is that any exposure that are in excess of the unsecured credit lines that will be calculated and provided to you, they must be met by cash or a letter of credit. And this is what we call performance assurance under the terms of the contract. If you are relying on a guarantor, then the form of guarantee is acceptable by AEP Ohio must be in place before unsecured credit can be granted to you. And if you are a foreign entity or relying on the financials of a foreign guarantor, additional documents in the form of legal opinion or a sworn certificate, as these documents are laid out in Article 5 of the contract, will also be required of you. In terms of the requirements, the first requirement is what we call the Independent Credit Requirement, or ICR. and the independent credit requirement is simply an amount on a per tranche basis that will decline throughout the term of the contract. And the unsecured credit that is tied to the ICR is what we call the independent credit threshold, or ICT. The second requirement is based on a mark-to-market calculation methodology, where we will take the difference between the market prices on the date the auction closed and the market prices when we calculate the mark-to-market, so that we can mark these contracts to market. And the exposure that come out of that is the exposure under this second requirement. The unsecured credit line that is tied to this mark-to-market is what we call the credit limit. All these calculations are described more in detail under Attachment C of the contract that you can find online. So with that, we will conclude this first part of the webcast.